집을 짜고 걸어찬다 보네. 집을 짜고
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Please excuse us, that was the morning melody. But I think it's all right. Those of you, I was noticing some of the devotees that are learning harmonium, they were picking up on the melody, right? So if you know the morning melody, you can sing this song too. And there was a period of time, a certain leader in our Hare Krishna movement, he really liked this song. And so right during our japa time, whether we liked it or not, we all gathered together and sang Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping soul. Gora Chandra Bole, Lord Chaitanya is calling. You have slept so long on the lap of the witch of Maya. And there's this wonderful pastime where Pishache, the Pishachire, but Pishache is a witch. Balaba Bhatta, who was a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was once visiting in Vrindavan. Prior, Balaba Bhatta exhibited a little pride before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who curbed his pride, but he still had some left. And so, at least in he had great erudition and scholarship, so Rupa Goswami invited Balaba Bhatta to edit his writing, which was an honor, to edit Rupa Goswami's writing. Great honor. So he agreed. And in the course of his reading of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there was a verse where Rupa Goswami had written that those who aspire, the operative word here is they aspire for liberation, it is like being haunted by a witch. And Balaba came back to Rupa Goswami and said, it's a pretty strong word, witch. Because after all, liberation is liberation. It's beyond the modes of nature, beyond the influence of karma. Do you think witch is a good word to use to describe that? And Rupa Goswami said, very well put, I think I'll consider making some change. And Jiva Goswami was by his side, fanning Rupa Goswami. And then it was his service to assist Balaba Bhatta as he went to perform his midday duties, carry his cloth and so forth. And Jiva Goswami, when he came out of the river Jamuna, said, you made some comment about Rupa Goswami's writing, and if I have your permission, I'd like to say something. He said, oh, you're Jiva Goswami. I've heard so much about you, your erudition, and I'd be very happy to hear what you have to say. And so Jiva Goswami said, in Rupa Goswami's writing, he didn't describe liberation as a witch. He described the hankering or aspiration for liberation. Because it's such an aspiration, it blocks the path of pure devotion. Both the aspiration for fruitive activities, karma, and gyan, it blocks the path of pure devotion. And therefore, the use of the word witch is appropriate. And so, Balaba said, this is very, very good. I think next time I see your spiritual master, Rupa Goswami, I'll make mention of this. So he made mention, you're Jiva Goswami, your disciple, he's very brilliant. I agree that that word should be left just as it is. It's you wrote what you wrote was right. And later, Rupa Goswami chastised Jiva Goswami. You shouldn't correct him. I asked him to help me with editing, and now you're correcting his editing. The mood of the resident of Vrindavan is, oh, you should leave Vrindavan. Just on that, he left Vrindavan. And all the Vaishnavas are very concerned about Jiva Goswami having to leave Vrindavan, and some arrangement was made for him to return. It was a nice exchange. So, the witch of Maya. There's the witch of the aspiration for liberation, and there's the witch, that which haunts or spooks or obstructs the progressive life, spiritual life of a spiritual personality. Wake up, wake up. You're sleeping in the lap for so long, sleeping in the lap of the witch of Maya. You came into this world of birth and death saying, that's the child and the womb, it's actually Maharaj Parikshit, seeing Vishnu or Krishna protecting him. My Lord, I will eternally worship you. But you have forgotten this promise and remained in great ignorance. I have descended just to save you, except for me. Who is your friend? This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. I have brought the medicine to eradicate the disease of illusion. Now, pray for this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and take it. Bhaktivinod fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he received that Maha Mantra. Now please remember, at least in terms of something that those of us who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his line, we look at the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur like a leela in which not until he was 30 did he even receive a Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, although he was vastly scholarly. He had read Eastern philosophy and the Bible and other things. He writes, it's in little section that I didn't read from this morning. But he writes that when he started reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he thought, well, this is very wonderful, except that why are they worshiping Krishna? Because Krishna's bad. Everybody knows that. Every intellectual that's influenced by the West knows Krishna did some bad things. So why are they advocating worshiping Krishna? He was a product of his times when he's speaking that way. But then I continued to read, and as I read further and further, I realized I don't understand this. It's a deep mystery. So I continued to read and read, and then I can understand it's only understood through devotion. So one really requires, and so I, deep devotion, and so I prayed and prayed and chanted and chanted. And then gradually I could understand that it's the most wonderful thing. These are pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world that are completely pure and perfect. And ordinary people don't understand these things. Anyway. The gift of the Maha Mantra. Here's a statement from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. If one sincerely takes shelter of the holy names of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, he will achieve spiritual perfection within the compass of his normal daily activities. Very succinct, isn't it? It's very similar to the verse that we discussed the Friday evening, that by faith, taking sincere shelter requires faith. By gaining faith through the association of saintly persons in the Hari Katha, or topics of Krishna, name of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, and so forth, then gradually one will achieve perfection. We call that siddha, spiritual perfection. So this is specifically, this evening's topic is faith in the holy name. Confirmed. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, in the world, there is belief in God. Then he would refer to the dictionary definition of belief or faith. It's conviction in something greater than us. So that conviction in something greater than us can change over time. One may have this faith at this time and that faith at that time. Faith is changing. What's unchanging? What's the essence within that which may be changing? And then he would say, if one doesn't understand the glories of God, they say, God is great, but how great is he? What are the glories of the personality of Godhead? By understanding his greatness, then it's easy to love. As you understand more and more and more about a sublimely wonderful person, then love is naturally inspired. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, without even being asked by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he came by the request of Advaita Acharya to a chanting of the holy name. In teaching the holy name, he began by describing the glories. So we're going to spend a little bit of time nurturing faith in the holy name by hearing some of the unlimited glories of the holy name, starting with the first verse of Shikshastakam. The print is small, but I think you can read it. There's seven, and by design, they're sequential. The first thing that one experiences from chanting, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. The mirror of the mind becomes cleansed, or the heart becomes cleansed. Just from chanting. And then, progressively, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. It's a poetic description. Agni means fire. And Maha Dhava Agni is a big, blazing forest fire. And Bhava is a misery. A big, blazing forest fire of material existence. Nirvapanam is extinguished. The blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. Prabhupada's example is just like in a big forest fire, just the torrential downpour of rain coming down can put out the big forest fire. And otherwise, bucket brigades and firefighting equipment, and they try, but it doesn't put out a forest, may put out a burning house, but not a blazing forest fire. So the blazing forest fire of material existence is extinguished through the chanting of the holy name. And Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. Shreya means auspiciousness. Shreya Kairava Chandrika. Literally it means the white lotus of good fortune. Vidharanam expands. Like at night, those of you that have seen lotuses, they're very beautiful during the day when the sun is shining. And when the sun goes down, the lotus closes. So during the night, the darkness of Kali Yuga, the lotus of good fortune closes. But when the moonshine is brilliant as the sun, radiating cool rays shines upon that lotus, the petals then open and distributes good fortune to all who come in contact. Same, those of you that are familiar with nectar devotion, the first two characteristics of devotional service found in chapter 1. Same, these two. Kleshagni eradicates the miseries of material existence and it brings in all auspiciousness. And this is, begins with the holy name. Just from chanting the holy name. With some faith. That's what keeps you going, chanting the holy name. And then these things are experienced. Then vidya vadhu jivanam. Literally that means the life of the wife. Vadhu jivanam. The life of the wife. Or the transcendental knowledge awakens by the mercy of the holy name. Because knowledge is a subpotency of the holy name. Knowledge is included in bhakti and within Krishna is the source. So that knowledge which dismisses the darkness of ignorance and awakens the transcendental knowledge of the true self, like this description of faith, faith in the process of self-realization. One feels that subjectively. Just continue to chant faithfully, and this is a natural consequence. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ananda means bliss, and ambuddhi means an ocean. And the ocean of transcendental bliss expands, vardhanam. This is in very high stages of pure devotional service. One experiences great transcendental ananda, happiness. Not like material happiness, but transcendental happiness, and it expands and expands and expands just from chanting the holy name. Pratipadam purnamritasvadanam. Pratipadam, with every step. Purna means complete. Amrita means what they're going to serve at lunchtime tomorrow. Nectar. Amrita. But this is transcendental nectar. Well, that's transcendental nectar to a different kind. So Amrita. Purna Amrita. Asvadanam. For which we're always hankering. That happiness. Complete satisfaction of the soul. That happens only in relation to the Supreme Soul, who is the reservoir of all happiness. The holy name gives us access to that. And then finally, number 7, sarvatma snapanam. Snapana means take a bath. The soul becomes thoroughly cleansed. Sarvatma snapanam. And then param vijayate, Sri Krishna sankirtanam. The glories of the holy name are these. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And then, after describing these 7 glories, he describes how easily accessible Krishna makes himself in the form of his holy name. This is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in the last chapter of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaking. Lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. Notice he's in front of a tulsi plant there. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. Maybe we shouldn't read that verse. That little lamentation and unhappiness is nice, right? We don't want to get rid of all of it. But for those of you that don't want, you can just plug your ears and close your eyes, but the rest of us will hear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then recited Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamatak smarane nakalaha etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham ahajani nadaragaha. So the beginning, nam nam akari bahudar. Prabhupada gives it a nice translation. Krishna is so kind that he has invested nija sarva shaktis, all of his transcendental potencies, and each and every one of his so many names, like Krishna Govindra. So every time you say Krishna Govinda, or any of his names, the word etc. doesn't count. Any one of his names, then those names have all of his transcendental potencies. He made himself so accessible. And tatrapita niyamata smarane nakala. This word here, niyama, means prohibitions. There's no prohibitions, like for Vedic sacrifices. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of prohibitions and requirements. But for the chanting of the holy name, no prohibitions, no requirements. You don't have to be a brahmana. You don't have to be clean. You don't have to be standing up straight. You can be standing on your head or lying down. You can be in the bathroom and you can chant the holy name. You can't do Vedic sacrifices in those conditions. You can't get any benefit from those things. But the holy name is, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. Anyone can chant Krishna's names. Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdayavim idrisham ehajani nadaraga. As unfortunate as I am, all these glories and wonderful features of the holy name, how easy Krishna has made himself and his holy name accessible. Nanuraga. No traction. Enough to make you cry. If there's a reason to cry, there's a good one. There's other things that are temporary. This is much different. And so then he turns to Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, who he's speaking to in this final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. So, very important verse. Hit the silent button. It's up on the upper right. Upper right. Yeah, thank you. Good guess. Different person's commuter can be confusing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this verse is so important. Raising my hands, I declare everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name. and wear it on your neck for constant remembrance. Such important verse. So these four things, access to the holy name, to the holy name where one has taste instead of no taste and no attraction. Because no taste and no attraction means we're attracted to something else. We're attracted to something temporary and flickering and never satisfying. Yet we're attracted, if you remember from the first evening. That may be there. So what to do? This is what to do. These four things. The trinadapisunechena, more humble than trin, a piece of straw in the street. More humble than that. And taror iva api sahishnuna, more tolerant than a tree. So many things to say about each of these. Amanina manadena, offering all respects to others without any expectation of respect in return. You have to be free from ego. That's not easy. You can have a nice ego. But even a nice ego wants respect. Generally. So, no ego. No ego is possible when the power of bhakti dissolves false ego. And so it's not just theoretical acceptance of I am Krishna's eternal servant, his part and parcel, meant for always engaging in his service. That's a notion we've heard many, many times. But to be factually situated in that consciousness where there's nothing else but that, that's bhakti. And when bhakti is so strong, it dissolves false ego. Kapiladeva teaches. It's very nice. No more false ego. I like saying that. And go, yay, no more false ego. It's bhakti. Bhakti has that potency. And to enter into that potency for this age, this, the holy name is our access into that bhakti shakti. And through bhakti shakti, then we can access Krishna. And you access Krishna and you're back home, back to Godhead, just through the chanting of the holy name. And he continues in two other verses, but we're not going to cover verse 4, but I really like this translation, two translations actually, of a paraphrased translation of this one, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Buddhao Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Stita Duli Sadrishim Vichintaya. This is a poeticized, paraphrased translation. I like this. I like to read it before chanting or while chanting somewhere in the middle. Don't always do that, but I like it very much. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal to you, to your affection. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow or other, I am now in adverse circumstances. There's so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart, you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. Very nice, huh? There's another. This is Bhaktivinod Thakur taking the same stanza and giving his expanded meaning. It's not, obviously, it's not a word-for-word translation. Oh, Lord Krishna. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj. I am your eternal servant. But as a result of my previous activities, I have fallen into this terrible ocean of material existence. Lust, greed, anger, envy, and all the rest are my adversaries. They are my enemies. They wait in the waters of this ocean of material existence like big fish, ready to swallow me up. Waves of my hope, waves of my anxieties, toss me here and there, making my life miserable, lashing storms of bad association, add further suffering in this condition. I therefore see you alone as my shelter. I now and then see small bunches of weeds floating by. These are the weeds of karma, gyan, yoga, austerities, etc. I try to catch hold of them to help me. As I am ravaged by the storms of my fate in this ocean of material existence, but has this the mighty ocean of nescience by their strength? And trying to swim across this ocean, some have reached out to grab the weeds for support. But unfortunately, everything, including the person himself, sinks like dead weights. Isn't it nice? He's not done yet. Factually, I can see that there is no hope for shelter other than your unlimited mercy. The sturdy boat of your holy name is the only means of crossing over the dangerous ocean of material existence. Soberly, considering these facts, I beg for the invincible boat of the holy name from my guru, which he gave me by his causeless mercy. O Lord, you are the renowned protector of your devotee, those souls surrendered to your lotus feet. Therefore, please accept this homeless destitute, this poverty-stricken person who has no wealth. Cleanse me of my faults and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Stituduli sadrisham vichintaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So faith in the holy name has something to do with, as we began, the glories of the holy name. And faith in the holy name also has something to do with the hopelessness of we making our own endeavor to overcome the circumstances that are very deep tribulations in our life. Message, then Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita. Devi yeshu gunamayi mama maya doratyaya mama eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. The impetus for taking shelter is knowing where there's real shelter. And when you take real shelter, the person whom you take shelter of needs some qualification. Just a little bit of sharing. Something that I like very much from Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. It's directly connected to this. When Vibhishan comes from Lanka to take shelter of Ram, he's tried and tried and tried again. Very similar to Vidura, trying again and again to dissuade Dhritarashtra from continuing to support Duryodhana. Dhritarashtra couldn't. He wouldn't. Similarly, Ravana was far worse. He was not just, you know, a blind person. He was a very wicked person. And nonetheless, fearlessly, very lovingly, his brother, Vibhishan, tried again and again, very directly, very honestly and straightforwardly, advising him not to continue on this destructive path that he was on. Ravana just became furious. He tossed him out of the assembly. So Vibhishan came to take shelter of Ram. And when he came to take shelter of Ram, it's a very beautiful pastime. He didn't go just directly to Ram. He approached the representatives of Ram. In this case, he saw Sugriva standing by the shore where Ram was. So Sugriva and said, "Can you carry a message to Ram? I'd like to take his shelter. Ask him if he will accept me." This whole long exchange takes place where Ram asks his ministers, "What's your advice? What's your advice? What's your advice?" He's the Supreme Lord. He doesn't need advice. But he's taking advice. And then he declares, "I've already accepted him." One who even once listened very clearly, "I declare it boldly." Anyone who even once sincerely says, "I take shelter of you," for that person, two things. I will eternally forever give them my shelter and protect them from fear. Of course, we can do a little backslide and then become afraid of so many things. But at least his offer of protection is there. And when Vibhishan was accepted, the acharyas describe, so also were the four ministers who accompanied Vibhishan. And they describe, connected to this, the acharyas describe that two of the ministers represent characteristics of the devotee who is surrendering, and two represent the characteristics of the person who is being surrendered unto. I hope I can remember the Sanskrit terms. One doesn't have a sense of any other shelter. Akinchana. Like Queen Kunti says, Akinchana Tvam. Having the quality of having no other shelter. That's what Queen Kunti's message was. Those that have some sense of, I've got multiple shelters, Krishna is a backup. Or my other shelters are there as a backup in case Krishna went to sleep. There's only one shelter. And then the complete dedication, that there isn't another shelter in complete dedication unto Krishna or unto that person who one is taking shelter of. No hedging. One place only. And full commitment and dedication. And then that's the qualification of the one who is surrendering, that the one who is offering shelter or surrender is to have the power to give protection and shelter. And another is, and their qualification is, they're not discriminating as to, like Lord Chaitanya, who's a fit and who's an unfit candidate. Their mercy is equally distributed, or like the sun that shines everywhere. Now, the sun may affect different objects differently according to the receptivity of the object. But having mercy and compassion broadly, then one can give shelter. Broadly. So this is the holy name. Anyone can chant the holy name. And the potency of the holy name is such that every one of Krishna's potencies is in each and every name. And that's pretty potent. And then the qualification from our side, you know, the position of faith. As our foes, there's this wonderful song, another wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he sings the song that Lord Chaitanya gave the service to Lord Nityananda to distribute the holy name. And go to the marketplace and set up a franchise. You can have dealers representing you. They can also give out the holy name. But there's a qualification in the franchise agreement. And that is, you have to charge a fair price. And the fair price is faith. And then, even a little faith, they can take the holy name. But a little faith. So, Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he distributes to everyone. But who will take it unless they have a little faith? There's this wonderful section, as I'm sure you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya went to Benares or Varanasi. And on his way back, he was thinking, I brought this heavy burden of merchandise, love of God, to distribute. And there's nobody that's willing to pay the price. So I didn't want to just carry this heavy burden. I'll just give it away freely. And still there's no takers. That's the nature of that place. So then he arranged a pastime where then they would pay the price and take. With Prakashan and Saraswati. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Even when we try to escape, he's very merciful. So, a little bit further on the glories of the holy name, here's something, again, Anti Lila, Lord Chaitanya, speaking about the glories of the holy name. This is Haridas Thakur speaking, actually. Lord Chaitanya is asking Haridas Thakur about the glories of the holy name. If a devotee utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind, or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage. And whether vibrated properly or improperly, will correct, with correct or incorrect grammar, or properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahmana, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. There's a small but. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed and atheism, in other words, if one utters the name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Small but. So chanters that have faith in the holy name must carefully guard against these offenses. We'll just end with this. This is a little section of a discussion from a book, another Bhaktivinoda Thakur book, discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking questions of Haridas, like he did with Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya was asking, the devotee of Lord Chaitanya was giving the answers. In the holy abode of Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya stayed in Kashi Mishra's home to bless the human race and to teach the heart of true religion meant for the Kali Yuga. One day, after bathing in the sea, Lord Chaitanya met Haridas Thakur under a Siddha Bakul tree. Happy at heart, he earnestly asked, how may the conditioned souls be easily delivered? That's the Siddha Bakul tree, by the way. He said, weeping and weeping, and the hairs of his body erect, and humbly grasping the Lord's lotus feet, saintly Haridas said, "Oh Master, your pastimes are very deep. You're asking me. Oh Master, I am fallen. How will I know what to say? Still, I must obey your command. The words you place in my mouth will happily speak. I will try not to judge their virtues or faults." And then what ensues is this nice description of Sambandagyan, which I didn't include. So he speaks about what is Krishna and Krishna Tattva, what is the living entity and Jiva Tattva, what is Maya that covers the living entity, and so forth. And then he speaks of the kindness, because the question is how to deliver. "Oh Lord, you say, my servant has now fallen into the sufferings of Maya, turning away from me. He now desires petty, unimportant things. I know what is truly good for him. I will make him turn away from sense gratification and impersonal liberation. I will give him pure devotional service. Following his desire, I will guide him on the path of indirect devotional service. Then I will give him firm faith in the pure, direct devotional service." Interesting, huh? "Oh, merciful Lord, this is all your mercy. If you do not give your mercy, how can the souls become purified?" And then he goes on to say, however, indirect devotional service in this age of Kali is very difficult because it has its niyamas. It has its rules and constraints and restrictions, and people have a hard time, if you haven't noticed. Like, you know, where to park your car and where not to park your car. And, you know, rules and regulations. It's like, we're in America, land of the free and the home of the brave. And we value our independence. We want to park where we want to park and go back home the way we want to go back home. So there. So there's a section I didn't include in Haridas saying, however, the indirect method is not so effective. It's quite difficult. Therefore, he says, "O Supreme Lord, thinking how to benefit the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, you descended to this world with the holy name. You taught that Nama Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name, is the Yuga Dharma. By following this direct path of chanting the holy name, the conditioned souls attain a great treasure of love for Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting or remembering the holy name, the conditioned souls will become delivered." There's the answer to the question. He could have said that right off, but he said a few other things before that. So faith in the holy name can take us to Krishna's abode, and all of the obstacles that we're facing, they can be removed by the power of the holy name. And then, in the conclusion, in chanting the holy name, the goal and the way to attain it are not different, like Prabhupada would sometimes say. The goal of chanting Hare Krishna is more Hare Krishna chanting. That's the goal, with love. In this path, there are no obstacles in the way to attain the goal. O Lord, by your mercy, the conditioned souls easily attain the goal. I am fallen. I am plunged in an ocean of material sense objects. O Lord, I am such a fool that I did not worship your holy name. Sighing and tears streaming from his eyes, Brahma Haridas fell before Lord Chaitanya's feet. Brahma Haridas is because after the Brahma of the Mohan Lila, Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys, according to Navadvipa Dhamma Mahatmya, he went to perform austerities to atone for his mistake, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, gave his darshan, and he said, "You will take part in my pastimes." He said, "Please give me a humble position." The Lord Brahma post went to my head. "Just give me a humble position." "Yes, you'll take birth in a Muslim family, so you won't get puffed up at your birth position, but you'll be the acharya for the chanting of the holy name." So therefore he's referred to here as Brahma Haridas. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki. We're going to need the microphone again because that little video comes at the end. Chanting brings many auspicious results. So here's some of the glories. If you have a magnifying glass, you can read them. Attains great piety by chanting the holy name. One who chants the holy name, all sins are destroyed. What else? It's not going. It's not... So, liberation is attained. Next. One becomes purified of the mud. Oh, there we go. Mud of materialism. All diseases are cured. Next. All fears flee. And one is safe from all calamities. And yakshas, rakshasas, bhutas, pretas, and evil planets, and an artist. See you later. The souls fallen into hell are delivered. All past karmas flee. Better than all the Vedas and all holy places. What else is there? Best of all auspicious deeds. Brings the four goals of piety, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Delivers the conditioned souls. Fills the world with bliss. This Haridas has a long list. It is the only shelter for the shelterless. It places one in the best possible position. In the Kali Yuga, all scriptures especially recommend chanting the holy name. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Deva Kevalam. Kalo Nasdeva, Nasdeva, Nasdeva. Gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. Click. So, his conclusion. Haridas. Give up all other religious practices and all fruitive activities, for the holy name is the only essential practice in Kali Yuga. There's no other worthy goal. There's the ocean of material existence. Let's go back and check it out for a moment. Won't let you go back. Thank you.
Well, it's a nice video. It just doesn't want to work.
Hare Krishna.
It's a wonderful video. It's worth waiting for tomorrow. Yes, a question here, and then a question there.
Hare Krishna. I think you were talking about how Lord Chaitanya gives his mercy out indiscriminately. And I have a question. It's related to that.
Okay.
So the Madhyama Adhikari, he does discriminate in giving out the mercy. He avoids, for example, the atheists.
Yes, he sure does.
It's clear how he does that. If it's a manner of his choosing who to approach and telling them, speaking philosophy or explaining why they should become a devotee or. But it's not clear to me how he's doing that, if he's leading a party of devotees chanting the holy name of Krishna, because that's done before whoever is there, whoever walks by, which would include envious or atheist.
Sure. That's like Jagai Madhai. But he's an Uttamadhikari. We're not. He has the power that we don't have. So we're enjoined to do what we have the power to do, and he doesn't require anything. Does that answer your question? Not exactly. Maybe I didn't understand your question. But we don't have the constraints that he has. He doesn't have the constraints that we have. Or excuse me. He doesn't have the constraint. We're constrained because of our position. He's not. He can give to whoever. There's this saying, if you see Lord Nityananda come out of a liquor shop, you should not think that he went to indulge in the liquor shop, but he went to deliver the man in the liquor shop. So, anyway, that we have constraints as Madhyamas. He doesn't. That was my answer. Does that answer your question? Kind of.
It helps clarify a lot. But also I was wondering, when we change the holy name, not explaining philosophy, then even one ought to discriminate, but it seems one cannot, because
We can chant, and we just don't give the intimate glories of the holy name to people in general. Let's try. Take 5 and see if it works. It's a video about chanting with some nice graphics. Hare Krishna. Lights?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Sometimes, especially new persons to Krishna consciousness, like to stand intellectually what it is they're chanting, or they have a lot of why questions. And then also further along in Krishna consciousness, I find myself wanting to understand things intellectually. So does trying to figure out things with the mind imply a lack of faith?
No. In fact, regularly Prabhupada would say, just try and understand. Now, what faculty are we accustomed to try to understand things with? Our rational faculty. So he would explain many times, he would explain things that are literally transcendental, at least, you know, within the grasp of the faculty of reason. Radhakrishna, you're still here. You spoke on this topic earlier. You know, belief or using the faculty of reason and connecting that with faith, which we've been hearing that's the basis of bhakti. So we should examine, and to our capacity, the message of devotion. It's not that everything is going to be understood through those limited faculties, but at least, you know, in a directional sense, so that we can continue moving in the direction of taking shelter. Recognizing, A, there's limitations, B, I may make some mistakes, not me, I will make mistakes, but you know, it's a faculty that God has given. I should use it. Prabhupada said we should use it. And some things I'll realize it's just beyond my faculty to understand. But by continuing, you know, the larger portion of things that really do make sense, then let me continue, and the others will gradually become understood through revelation, through Krishna's kindness, through mercy. And that's something that we can rationally take the position on with our, you know, with our reasoning faculties. You want to comment, Radhakrishna? You understood the question? Okay. He's passing. Okay. That's okay. It's okay. He wants to. Anybody else? Up here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, in the 25th slide, I saw like by chanting we get economic development and sense gratification. I did not really understand, like, how do we understand that part? On the 25th slide.
You were counting the slides?
Yeah. On the 25th one. Yeah, that one.
Are you an IT person or something? How do you know it was slide 26?
No, 25.
25, excuse me. So, anyway, okay.
So.
Here's, I think your answer, the question is,
like there it says, brings the four goals that are piety, economic development, sense gratification. Yes.
The first three, dharma, artha, kama, are the fruits of karma. Liberation, jnana. The fruits of karma and jnana are bestowed by bhakti according to the requirement of the individual for their necessities. It may be that one will become very prosperous. It may be that one will have modest facility, like Krishna's dear friend Sudama, Sudama Vipra or Sudama Brahmana. He lived very simply. But he had his necessities. He was very satisfied. So, each of us will be supplied yoga kshema vaham yaham. So, those fruits of karma and gyan are bestowed by bhakti. We don't need separately endeavor for them. Does that address your question? In fact, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that devotional service is rendered from the platform of liberation. Brahmabhutta prasanatma nasochati nakangsati samaksarveshu bhoteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Bhakti is rendered from the liberated platform. Gradually our qualifications come to that stage also, but at least bhakti itself delivers us. We don't have to strive independently for liberation. We can put our eggs in one basket. We can be single-minded in our endeavors. Krishna will take care of these things. That's the point. Okay. In the back? Yeah?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
The holy name during Kirtan, Rama is sometimes pronounced as Ramo and Ram. I was asked, would the potency of the holy name diminish when we mispronounce it?
What do you think?
Based on what you showed, it does not, because of the intention, but I wanted to hear from you.
Well, what I was just repeating what Haridas Thakur said. I mean, you can read that section. It's chapter 3 of Antya Leela, details and details. But aside from the details, where the answer is no, it does not lose its potency. The simple way that Prabhupada put it is, Krishna knows who is addressing him. And that's what counts. And Krishna reciprocates with the devotion of one who is addressing him. Even the pronunciation may not be so precise. Krishna knows from the intention. Is that all right? Okay. Yes. Two questions on the ladies' side. You have another microphone. Look at that. Okay, so you want you walk that one back there. Go ahead.
Maharaj, you mentioned putting all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So how does a person judge that they're not acting beyond their actual adhikar? Because it seems like one actually has to have really good faith in Krishna, the process of devotional service, etc., to, you know, put all the eggs in one basket. So we tend to keep, you know, pension plans and retirement plans and all these other plans because...
Well, depending upon, exactly as you put it, depending upon one's faith, the pension plan and this plan, that plan, may be part of what I may do as a householder for my family because that's part of my service to Krishna rather than Krishna's got, you know, his own social security plan set up for me. So, and then another person, according to their faith and their disposition, may not do that, depending. So you know, it's a little bit like that point in the discussion with Haridas Thakur about indirect devotional service, or mixed devotional service, or acting from our own position. We shouldn't be, as you put it very nicely, artificial or false, pretentious about what our actual position is. So according to the same as that first evening, verses 27 and 28 from chapter 20 of the 11th canto expresses it very nicely. I may very well understand the nature of transcendence and the nature of temporal activities. I may be attached. I may not have full faith in Krishna, etc., etc. So, and let me be honest with that, and so I'll make some arrangement. Knowing what the verse says is, it's not going to bring happiness and safety. It's going to bring anxiety. And I'm attached. And so I do that. But let me carry on with faithfully with the taking shelter of Krishna, and Krishna will take care. So we have to be realistic according to our position, and at the same time, according to our position, invest in that process of hearing and chanting and shelter taking and striving for Krishna's shelter exclusively, according to our relative position. That's my understanding of how it works. I was just discussing this with someone today about wisdom and its applicability for our society. You know, it's a huge topic, which I'm bringing it up to get into it, but it's something similar. You know, ultimately, we just need the holy name. And in case we haven't taken full shelter of the holy name, we need some kind of a social structure that can guide us until we get to that full shelter of the holy name. And so many other things. We need, we have many needs. Now, if we don't take shelter of Krishna, A, and try to set up a social structure that looks like Varnashram system, B, it's not gonna work. But if we take shelter of Krishna according to our position, and anyway, I won't say too much on it. Shivaram Maharaj is going to speak on this topic. Stay tuned. When our GBC meets in Chicago, it's going to be live broadcast, and I'm really looking forward to. He has a lot to say on this topic, but it's not the same as your question, but it's related. You know, where there's other structures that we may put in place that's other than the pure holy name, recognizing that I'm not there yet. Doesn't mean I don't have faith, it's just not implicit faith, full faith. So until I get there, I need something. Yes, in the back.
You said bhakti dissolves false ego. So
bhakti dissolves false ego.
Yeah, so false part is what I was confused about with the ego. Is it bhakti dissolves ego, or
no,
is that you're talking about?
No, there's true ego. What does ego mean? Who am I? The sense of self. So let me ask you, give him the microphone. Oh, she's got to answer the question, I'm sorry. Okay. When you, A or B, multiple choice, you get to the spiritual world and you cease to exist. Ego dissolves. Or B, when you get to the spiritual world, there's unlimited numbers of living entities, including yourself, that have a sense of self and a loving relationship with Krishna. B. So there's a true self, there's a true sense of my position in service to Krishna. That's the true self. And then there's another kind, the covering kind, where I think some other way than that one. And it keeps changing. It's very odd. It keeps, like, right? So that, the false one dissolves, the true one emerges. Narada Muni discusses this very, very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. You can look it up. It's towards the end of chapter 6, first canto. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I have two questions. First one is from our first class on Friday.
Okay.
Where we discussed that shloka, Yadrachaya.
Yeah.
And we said that it's not because of the piety that one gets the Krishna consciousness.
Right.
So my question is, when we go out, we chant, or in Sunday evening programs, we chant and the devotees come and other people also come. What is the reason why someone does not take Krishna consciousness?
They're making it, to accept or to not accept is a free will choice. Someone may offer something, and you can say yes or no. Say yes, some people say no. Some people say maybe, or let me think about it. I'm not saying no, I'm not saying yes, I need to think about it. But it's not a no.
But Maharaj, each one of us already has Krishna within our heart.
Of course.
So why doesn't that work? Then.
Well, why are we in the material world if we have Krishna in our heart? Because we said no.
Okay.
And Krishna said, please say yes. We said, no.
Thank you, Maharaj. My second question is, today you mentioned that when Vallabha edited Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion and Jiva Goswami corrected him, and Rupa Goswami said there is no place of pride in Vrindavan. So yeah. I was remembering one more lecture, and my question is whether Jiva Goswami left Vrindavan twice, because...
No, this was just once.
So there was one more incident where I'm not remembering the name of the Brahmana, where he wanted to debate Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami simply signed the document.
It was one time though. It's as far as I am aware, someone more learned than me can correct me. It was specific to the incident with Vallabha, and it's recorded in Bhakti Ratnakar. Now maybe there is another incident. I am aware of the other incident, and Rupa Goswami was scolded, but not asked to leave. He was scolded, but not asked to leave.
But Maharaj, I was remembering where Sanatan Goswami brings Jiva Goswami, and then he say, what is the first quality?
Yeah, that's the same. That's the same.
This incident.
Yeah, same incident.
Okay.
And there's different versions of that incident. There's, you know, conventional ones, and there's Bhakti Ratnakar ones.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, in the Sharanagati, you mentioned about how Rakshishyati, how a devotee feels protection of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's part of the surrender.
Yes.
So my question was that we are so attuned to think of protection in terms of bodily, material protection. So, but the body is going to fall anyway. So
yes.
what is it, as it fell in case of Maharaj Parikshit and the Pandavas also? I mean, Lord protected them in the war, but they ruled only for 35 years. So what is it that a devotee feels that Krishna will protect me? What is it that he will protect?
Excellent question. And it's not simply bodily protection in that no harm will come to you. Here's a current contemporary example. The war in the Ukraine, or the fighting, or whatever the right way to call it is. There are devotees that live in the Ukraine. And some of them, they've lost their homes and they've been displaced. But there's details and details, some of which can't be spoken too much about because it's, you don't speak about these things because of what's up going on over there. But to my knowledge, the devotees have been protected. That is, they've been, you know, with service from other devotees. Devotees have risked their lives to go into those places and network with people, and worldwide effort has been made to provide funds so they can build some shelters and homes for those people and that are displaced. As an example. So there may be protection from bodily harm. There may be some difficulty in bodily circumstances of life. So the ultimate, what is one protected, which is your question, is your relationship with Krishna, and your safety in terms of your relationship with Krishna will be protected. Circumstance. It's not that no bodily harm will come, or you won't get diseased, or you won't get old, or you won't die. You know, even that you won't die untimely. That may happen. That may happen. Devotees may die in an automobile accident. It's happened. No. Most likely there was some negligence. And sometimes Krishna compensates for negligence, and sometimes he may not compensate for negligence. But his promise for protection ultimately is our devotional service unto him, our relationship with him, that he maintains intact. And in general, otherwise, what we require, he provides and, you know, preserves that. Okay? Yeah, that was quick.
Regarding the topic of hedging versus surrender.
Which versus surrender?
Regarding the topic of hedging versus surrender.
Hedging, oh, okay.
What came to my mind was the tendency of some to, say, dabble in different aspects of religion or different faiths and not settle down and stick with one.
Yeah.
Was that an example of
that's
what
a nice example.
To?
There's no the positive thing is taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one who doesn't want to do that, there's lots of avenues. That's one when you've named one of them.
Okay. Just want to make sure that was one.
Sure. We're done. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.